we have a lovely local library, and I would often go on work at my library, and I would feel like I would put on some clothes and go to an office. But that kind of changed in the pandemic, and I kind of got out of that habit. So now I really mostly stay at home, where I have access to snacks, which is very important to me throughout the day. That path from my office to the kitchen is well worn.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. I am so pumped to be talking to today's guest, Daisy Alpert-Florin, author of a book I truly adored, My Last Innocent Year, which is recently out in paperback and, hot tip, would make an excellent book group pick. My Last Innocent Year was a New York Times Book Review's Editor's Choice, and Good Morning America called it one of those stories that stays with you, especially if you were a young person in the 90s when the novel is set. I've had the pleasure of being on a writing retreat with Daisy and getting to know her both in person and on the page, and I am very excited to plumb the depths of her personal throughline with you here today. Daisy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So how this works, so that you know, and so that our listeners know, is that I'm going to ask you questions that fall into three basic categories: practical matters, inner stuff, for lack of a better term, and what's coming up. If you at home are listening to the free version of this podcast, which I completely welcome and understand and appreciate, each section will come in its own short, easy to consume episode with a few ads thrown in to keep the lights on. And if you become a paid subscriber, you'll get the full interview in one ad-free episode. So if you would like to upgrade to paid, visit me on Substack at katehanley.substack.com and upgrade to premium to gain access not only to ad-free podcast episodes, but also a monthly Write Yourself Clean gathering on Zoom that is equal parts communal journaling, group coaching, and writing seminar all in one. Okay, that's my spiel. I think that covers our basic itinerary, so let's get things rolling. So Daisy, we start off with a pretty open-ended question. I just want to know, I shouldn't say, because this is kind of a big question, but tell us, like, what drew you to the work that you're doing now? How did you kind of arrive in this place?
Well, it took a long time and it's a winding road, like I think most people discover as they move through life. But I just published my debut novel last year in 2023, the same year I turned 50. So there were a lot of things that brought me to this place. But I think looking back, and I love the name of your podcast, Finding the Throughline, because I really think that the seeds were always there and I just didn't really know what I was looking for. I majored in history in college, so I loved writing always, but didn't really think of myself as a creative writer, never thought of myself as a novelist or someone who even really had a great imagination. I knew I had a talent for writing. People had told me that. But it really wasn't until really my 40s that I thought about taking myself more seriously as a writer, even though looking back, I was sort of preparing myself for that all along, being a lifelong reader and just consumer of books and newspapers and magazines and story, whether through theater or music. So I feel really lucky that I finally put all those pieces together and have arrived where I am today.
I feel really lucky too, because I really do adore your work. And I just can't help but share that I was also a history major. Shout out to the history majors for studying the thing that seems to have no apparent career path.
Yeah, I mean, I know I wasn't in English. I was like, oh, I should have been an English major. But I actually was never drawn to English as a major at all. History just really was fascinating to me. So that's so funny that you were one too.
I know, the same. And you know what I did as a history major is I read novels and wrote papers. So I feel like it's kind of the same skill set, just a little less pressure on being a literary genius, perhaps.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing how you got here. I'm curious, what keeps you going?
Oh, you know, I feel so lucky to have found something that I love to do at this point that really keeps me going, that I'm working on a new novel very slowly. And the sort of that rush that I had when I was finishing my last Innocent Year and really, I felt like becoming one with the work. I felt like I was riding a horse and we were really in sync. And I think I'm just like looking for that again, where I can just get really in sync with the story. I love, like any writer, to write a really great sentence and you kind of know when you've landed on one, or just when my mind clicks into a path on the page that I just really want to follow. So I think I'm always kind of chasing that high.
Yeah. You mentioned that it took you a while to kind of find this path. You published your first novel at 50. Is there something, though, about your current work reality, about writing novels, that either came to you more easily or happened more easily than you expected?
I definitely locked into the story that I wanted to tell fairly easily, I think, because this novel grew out of really a series of personal essays that I had written about my college years, because the novel is about a young woman in her final semester of college. And I did draw from a lot of my own experiences to tell this story in terms of the setting and some of the characters and the time period. So a lot of that came kind of easily. And then I think the other thing that came easily, or I was really lucky to find, was a community of supportive readers like you and our whole Gatelist community, which really gave me the confidence to take it out into the wider world. And in terms of connecting with an agent and an editor, that sort of fell into place perhaps more easily than it does for others. And I feel really lucky with like the little team that I've assembled around me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And what about it was more difficult than you anticipated?
What's always difficult, which is just sort of sticking to it and kind of getting yourself to sit down every day. And it's, even now, I find getting myself to my desk every day is hard. I know we'll talk about that a little bit later. Just the idea of writing into the abyss, not knowing if anyone will ever read what you're writing. I mean, that is hard. I sometimes describe it, I'm not a religious person, but it almost feels like faith, right? To believe in something that you can't see or touch and you have no proof that it exists. But that was really what it is every day, to sit down and do creative work. It really is an act of faith.
Yeah. I'm curious. So as you're like writing into the abyss, as you say, which I love it, are there habits or practices or attitudes that kind of help you stay connected to that creativity that's drawing you to the page?
I think, like all writers or creative people, I feed myself, you know, I read a lot. I watch TV and good movies, because you never know where an idea will come from. I just watched a movie called Anatomy of a Fall, which is kind of a legal thriller. And something in watching that, I mean, I didn't go into it thinking it would provoke anything in my new work, but it kind of did give me a little spark of something. So you just never know. So I think if I get a chance to see live theater or live music or go see an art exhibit, I just think if you're, you know, I just try to stay really open to all the channels the universe has switched on for me.
So are there habits or practices or even attitudes that help you take care of yourself? So not necessarily about so that you can be creative in your work, but just, yeah, as creatives, we can't really separate ourselves from the work that we do. So how do you take care of your vessel?
Well, not very well, I'm afraid. But I think in terms of my work, I try to just set super low goals for myself every day. That I'm going to touch the work every day is a goal of mine. And I've started to realize that I kind of do my work better like in the late afternoon rather than in the morning. So just to try and, I know we'll talk more about habits, but I hope to get enough sleep. And I'm always happy when my kids go off to school and things just go smoothly in my sort of personal and family life. Then I feel like I can focus my attention on my work.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to hear about what that looks like when you're focusing your attention on your work. You mentioned it mostly happens in the late afternoon, would you say? And it's so in addition to like what time you're doing it, like where are you? Are you listening to music? Have you just eaten? Like, give us the details.
Yeah. No music. I need it to be like really quiet. And I don't even do well in coffee shops. I get way too distracted. Auditory input is super distracting to me. I can't shut it out. So I usually work at home. Before the pandemic, we have a lovely local library, and I would often go and work at my library, and I would feel like I would put on some clothes and go to an office. But that kind of changed in the pandemic, and I kind of got out of that habit. So now I really mostly stay at home, where I have access to snacks, which is very important to me throughout the day. That path from my office to the kitchen is well worn. And I sort of tune out that 5 a.m., get up at the crack of dawn and work. That I've tuned out a long time ago because that is just not me at all. I work better as the day goes on. And even the morning, like 9:30, I just feel myself very rangy, and it takes me a long time to kind of settle myself down. So now I try to use the mornings more to like make those phone calls that I have to make or take care of those kind of life things. And then I might settle into my work more like after lunch, which I think is unusual. I don't know. I know people tend to get a lot of work done in the morning, but I just haven't been able to flip that, like do your work first and then deal with all the administrative tasks of your life after. I feel like I have to clear the slate of those things before I can really settle in.
I'm with you, quite honestly. I like to feel like I've achieved something, and I just don't think I'm ready to achieve something significant first thing.
No, then I'd probably blow off the rest of the day.
Right. And then you said you like to touch the work every day. Well, what do you mean by that?
In a perfect world, I would be generating brand new material every day. And I try to generate at least something new every day. But even if I'm just going back into something I've already written and fiddling around with it and tinkering it, and just kind of the more I can bring myself into the world of the novel, the more I feel immersed in it, so that like when I'm driving in my car or I'm in the shower, I'll have an idea, or I'll wake up in the middle of the night, not because I have an idea, but because I'm 50, but I'll wake up in the middle of the night and something will click in for me. But those sort of things only happen when I'm feeling more immersed in the work, when it's like I'm kind of thinking about it. So trying to keep myself in the flow of it allows me to make those connections when I'm just wandering the world in my normal self, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So it seems like consistency is really crucial. And then if you're in the world of your novel, and because you've been in there consistently and you have an idea when you're in the shower or you wake up in the middle of the night, how do you capture those ideas? Do you trust that they're going to be there when you sit back down, or do you write them down some way?
Yes. I can never trust that they're going to be there. That I think is something I've heard from other writers. You believe, oh, I woke up in the middle of the night, I know I'm going to remember this in the morning. You just are not. So the other night it happened to me, and I just grabbed my phone and sent myself an email. That's kind of what I do. maybe I would scribble it on a piece of paper by my bedside, but more often I'll just send myself an email with a couple of lines. And it's actually kind of funny to then receive those emails because sometimes they're great. A lot of times they're like, oh, that was a good idea. But a lot of times, like, that was not a great idea. I don't know that you needed to send that at 2:22 a.m. But I do know myself that I won't remember. In the shower, I might remember because I'm not in the shower that long. But in the car, I'll dictate myself an email, or I've used voice memos, you know, anything to kind of get it down so I don't forget.
Okay, good to know. I think that I'm still under the fallacy that I will remember.
You will not remember. You will not.
And I have plenty of evidence to the contrary, but I still believe it.
I know we want to believe.
All right. Well, that concludes our section of questions on the practicalities of how Daisy got to where she is today and how she stays inspired and how she gets her work done. Coming up in the next Finding the Throughline episode, I'm going to ask Daisy questions that are more internally focused, like any ideas or beliefs she's had to rewrite for herself. So I hope that you will come back. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part two of this interview.
My novel is a novel, and it's not an autobiographical novel, but it was a place for me to put some of the feelings that I had about being a college student, leaving college, being a woman at a certain point in history in a certain sort of setting. I was able to put all the feelings I had, but sort of create a story around them that was more propulsive than what actually happened to me, right? I always say if I wrote a memoir about my years in college, it wouldn't actually be very interesting.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Wednesday.